Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin. Good evening, everyone. I'm Jason Ophir, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. And I'm here with my wonderful co-host, Maria Wilson Duff. Maria, how's it going?
Oh, you lie so well, Jason. You said I was wonderful.
Oh, what are you talking about? You are wonderful. Come on.
Okay. I'm doing good. I'm enjoying picking on you. I get to do that for an hour every week. So, yeah. My night is
I need
night.
It, too.
Yeah,
very
you do.
Good.
You really do.
I know. What? How's your week been? Anything exciting going on? Anything in the paranormal, or just anything in general?
I've just been keeping busy. I've been reading Brett and Julie Oldham's book, who is our guest for this evening, and I'm in love with these stories. These are normal people. Well. They call us weirdos, but these are normal, everyday people that have these paranormal experiences. And then, of course, the people that have the near-death experiences, which just fascinate me when you die and then you come back. It's just the stories that they have are just amazing. And I think this is a book you might enjoy reading, Jason. I can promise you this. Because you like, I like to do things to give you nightmares, and this would help.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do not need to read, at least at night. It doesn't take much.
No, it does not.
Well, it looks like we have Brett and Julie in queue, but before I bring them on, something strange happened last night. And strange things don't happen to me very often, but I wanted to mention it.
Okay,
so
go for it.
I'm driving home last night, 8 o'clock at night, and I'm getting, it's in the city, Portland, Oregon, and the street lights start going off as I go under. Now, I've seen this before. I don't know if there's anything to it. Every night there's at least one street light that goes off, and several street lights are going off. And just as I'm noticing, well, that's kind of unusual, the quantity of street lights blowing out or doing whatever they do. My satellite radio in my car starts getting all weird and cutting out. I've never heard that before. And then my phone suddenly dies. It had a charge, and this all happened within seconds. It was really weird. It was tripping me out. If any of those things happens, just by themselves, I wouldn't have thought anything about it. But it was like some weird electrical disturbance, and it really got me thinking. Nothing. Maybe it's a solar flare or something, or maybe it's a demon in the back seat. I hope not, but it's like just this weird series of events that just kind of happened. Everything just went wacko. It's really weird.
Followed you home, dear.
I hope not. I don't think I had
been,
any message.
They've been following you. They've been following you. You just don't want to accept that.
Yeah, that's not what I need to hear, because I'll be going to bed in a few hours.
Well, it's either that or a demon. Take your pick.
I watched a UFO movie the other day, and I swear I started hearing like little creaks and stuff, and nothing outrageous, but it was weirding me out. I had to try and sleep with the TV on so I could see.
That's true. That's hilarious.
The grays are coming for me.
Yes, they are. We've been telling you this for a while. But we're going to talk about ghosts tonight, so you're just going to have to be weirded out for a little bit longer.
Yeah, that's my second greatest fear. We'll go ahead and get Brett and Julie on right now.
Okay.
Brett, Julie, how's it going?
Hey, great.
How you guys doing tonight? Sounds like you're having a lot of fun already.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure you're in the right line of business, Jason.
I'm sorry, what was that? I missed that.
You must have a lot of sleepless nights, I think, doing a show like this, right?
There have been a few. I'm a big, scary guy. I am not a small person. I'm not a weak-looking individual. But I tell you, you start getting into demons and ghosts and gray aliens, and it doesn't take much. I have a super vivid and hyperactive imagination. So once I get a little grain of alien in my brain, it just kind of metastasizes and makes me all crazy and paranoid.
Well, that's understandable. A lot of people, I think the longer that you're in it, the less fear that you have. And actually, the book the new book that we have out, even though we get into ghosts and spirits and near-death experiences, it's really a more positive take on it. We don't get into the real horror into things, and everything based on fear. And we wanted to wanted to show that side of it, that, you know, there's not everything that's considered paranormal is something to be afraid of.
I think that I know, but the first category I go to when I'm watching a movie is horror movies. So that's like the majority of my knowledge in the paranormal. I mean, I do this show and talk to a lot of wonderful guests, but when I think of ghosts, I think of a girl crawling on the ceiling about ready to pounce on me because I watched The Ring or something.
Right. Well, that's Hollywood, and that's unfortunately most of the ghost investigation shows are so over the top now with all that stuff. Everything's, evil and demon, and I guess it helps ratings. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. They must be doing something right because a bunch of people are getting rich. But Maria kind of gave a little intro, but I was hoping you two could kind of expand on that for our listeners, a little bio.
A bio about ourselves or just about the book?
Who you are, what you do, what you're writing, just everything, I guess.
Well, my background is in both paranormal and in alien abductions. And I've had two previous books out. The first one was Children of the Greys, out in 2013. And then the follow-up was a book called The Baby Takers. But this book is called, our newest book that Julie and I co-authored, is called Afterlife Encounters, Ghost Spirits, and Near-Death Experiences. And the reason we separated it like that is because there's actually a parallel between alien abductees and having high incidence of paranormal activity. I've interviewed tons and tons of alien abductees, and almost across the board, there is a correlation between high incidence of paranormal activity. And that's no different with me, and that's why I got into it at a very early age, because I experienced this stuff even before I even knew what was happening with the abductions. And so in my research, I think there's a distinct difference between a ghost and a spirit. And, of course, an NDE is a completely separate thing in itself also. I've always felt that ghosts are just lost souls that are trapped in some sort of a middle dimension. They don't fully cross over, and there's a lot of reasons for that. Many times it's just sort of like the fear of hell if they fully cross over, like, you know, their religious beliefs, and they start thinking, well, maybe I wasn't so great of a person. I don't want to be judged. I'm just gonna stay here, you know, and But there's other things like strong attachment to people or places, you know, things in this world. Sometimes they don't even realize that they're dead, that they don't realize what's happened to them. So there's just, you know, and then they become trapped, and eventually they either give up or they just want to be left alone. But a lot of hauntings are really just them trying to get our attention. And Maria's probably experienced this herself many times, you know, where you'll catch EVPs, electronic voice phenomena, and they'll be asking for help. And there's a reason for that, you know. And if you're on the other side and you're trying to get help to fully cross over, what are you going to do? I mean, you're going to do everything you can that you can draw energy from to get somebody's attention that you think can help you. And that includes all the classic haunting stuff, closing doors, lights coming off and on, moving objects, all that kind of things like that to try to get somebody's attention. And whereas I think spirits are actually souls that have crossed over fully, and you know, we're given free will, and I think they can choose to return for short amounts of time. Most of the time it's to comfort a loved one, you know, warn a loved one, or many times just to let them know that they're okay where they're at, and just, you know, and other times just simply to visit. And so we, in the book, you know, we do have some ghost stories in there, but we also have a ton of stories from people that received just some incredible messages from the other side, of friends and loved ones, and in a variety of ways that they came back to do these things that I just mentioned. And then we interviewed people who have had near-death experiences. And really, that was just incredible within itself as well. And we got just a massive collection of different stories. But to us, it sort of all fit in together because it all falls under the umbrella of an afterlife encounter.
I've always found the near-death experience thing fascinating. Do you ever run into skeptics that say, because I know there's some scientists out there that say that, oh, well, it's just, you know, chemical activity in the brain or residual electrical activity, and there's no really definitive evidence that there is an afterlife. Do you ever encounter that?
I'm sure some people think that. The people that actually have the near-death experiences, it completely changes their life. So I'm sure that they absolutely believe that it's not just some type of, you know, chemical process where the brain is dying or, you know, whatever.
Well, and it changes their life in, like, profound ways. And, you know, I know some people that the so-called spirit molecule, DMT, which the long name, I can't even begin to try to pronounce it, is released out of the pineal gland whenever we die. And so some skeptics will say, you know, it's just basically a DMT trip. But there's too many things that happen as far as how are the spirits able to come back, you know. And as far as ghosts and spirits go, you know, it's got to go, our soul's got to go somewhere. I mean, the law of conservation of energy, I mean, it says we're made up of energy. Energy can't be destroyed or created. It can only be transferred from one form to another. So there's only so far you can take the chemical reaction thing. And then when it comes to near-death experiences, I mean, you want to name all the characteristics and stuff.
Yeah, there were a number of characteristics that were typical of our near-death experiencers. One was they no longer had a fear of death. Some found their true calling or purpose after the experience. Most became more spiritual and less religious. Most came back with psychic abilities, or if they had abilities prior to the experience, they found that these abilities were enhanced after the near-death experience. They became more altruistic and less materialistic, and they were concerned about the environment, animals, the planet, those type things. And we found that those were kind of typical things of the NDEers that had the experience.
Julie, with your background and your degrees that you have. You have a BA in psychology and a master's degree in marriage and family counseling and religious education. Your brain must be wired totally different than most people as far as the education, because it seems like people turn a blind eye. They don't want to accept the spirituality that's beyond us and what's in this mm-hmm. world. So you must have had an experience that opened your eyes to this.
I have read and studied for many, many years paranormal because it was so interesting to me. So not a lot of personal experiences other than just a willingness to read. And I read a lot of personal accounts of just a lot of things, alien abductions, just a lot of paranormal. People who were, very interested and just kind of read.
Well, good. You don't find very many people that are very open-minded, and usually they get stuck in one path or the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true. Well, actually, since Julie and I have been together, you know, we went to a few haunted places, and we actually went out to a place close to where we live, down on the golf course, a place called Fort Morgan. And I took a K2 meter with me and just a digital recorder, which is that and the camera is pretty much my methods of ghost investigation. I'm sort of old school, but it was in the daytime, and of course the fort is, I forget what year, is in the late 1700s.
Yeah,
so
it has
got
a long history.
It saw several wars. And so you can only imagine, you know, like the kind of energy that's there. And I don't think there was probably five or six people there at the time that we were there. It was not crowded at all. And they were quite a distance from us. And so we turned on the recorder for only about 45 or 50 minutes and picked up a bunch of stuff and got a lot of Class A full voice responses. Even got captured one where two guys, two different ghosts, were talking to each other about us, because one of them had said, "I hope he talks to me," and the other one says, "It's only a light," meaning they were seeing the light on the recorder, and so, you know, that's actually pretty rare. But they were sometimes interacting with our conversation. Mm-hmm. Was a little girl out. We were walking along the beach, and we ran into a briar patch, actually. And she, it sounded.
Yeah, she responded. You said something about all the briars, and she responded.
"We got all the briars."
Yeah, we got all the briars.
And, you know, she sounded like she, possibly like maybe was a slave girl, like a young African-American. And so apparently at one time in her life, they must have been cleaning the briar patch, you know, out along the side of the fort. And so Julie kind of got exposed to real quickly to the world of EVP. And, you know, I think she found that quite remarkable. And then we actually, during the course of writing this book, had experience ourselves, which we included in the book. And you want to talk about that with your grandmother?
Yeah, we had, this was in April, and we were both sitting on my couch, and I was sitting, we were facing different directions, and Brett had this look on his face, and I said, "What's wrong?" Because I was facing the other direction, and he said, "What did you say? You thought you saw somebody in the house?"
Well, I said I think I just saw a woman, and we, you know, jumped up because we thought somebody came in the house. I said, and we looked around everywhere. We couldn't find anything. The doors were locked, and So we started talking about it, and I said, well, you know, this, I guarantee you there was this woman, and she sort of just peeked around the corner of the door frame right behind you. And so I decided to try and reenact it. So I asked Julie to stand, you know, I kind of showed her what I saw. And so she tried to reenact it. And as she did, I said, well, that's really weird, because the woman I saw, her profile was very similar to yours, but she was shorter. And I described her, the hair and what she was wearing and everything like that. And Julie says, well, wait a minute. And she goes to another part of the house, and she comes back with this photo, and she says, did she look like this? And I says, well, yeah, she looked very much like this. And it turned out to be a photo of her grandmother when she was younger. And I, up until that point, I'd only saw some photos that were of her grandmother when she was, you know, elderly and stuff. So, and then I said, well, you know, well, she's shorter than you. And I kind of went up to the door frame and showed, like, about how high of the height was of the woman that I saw. And Julie said, yeah, that's about how high she was. And I thought, well, how odd, you know, that she, you know, Julie has never had any kind of...
other than dreams of her.
Yeah, dreaming, but, you know, nothing, and no kind of physical manifestation. And so I said, well, you know, you've been talking about her a lot, and I do think that spirits know that, and they come back and, you know, try to comfort in their own way, a lot of times through dreams. But I said, boy, she's got some great energy. I mean, she looked real. I mean, I actually thought somebody had came into the house. And even the clothing that I described her wearing, Julie had said that the blouse sounded like one of her favorite blouses that she used to like to wear. And I said, well, it was really weird because, you know, she just seemed to kind of like peek around the corner and then dart back in once she saw me see her. And she said that her grandmother had a habit of doing that when she was alive, that she would sort of just peek in on people and check in on them kind of thing, and used to do that when they were kids. And then the real ironic thing was, and she says, well, the other very strange thing about this is today's my grandmother's birthday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was really, really neat.
And you felt that she didn't want you to see her because...
I felt like she knew Brett could handle the full-body apparition, and maybe I couldn't handle the full-body apparition. So she comes to me in dreams, mostly.
But they have a way to do, you know, there's, and in the book, you know, we have a lot of stories of different ways that that people will come back, and some of them are full body apparitions like that. Sometimes people just hear their voice talking to them again, or there'll be some kind of object that is associated, strongly associated with the person, and it will sort of be moved, or it will appear, you know, that kind of thing to happen quite a bit. And there's a lot of synchronistic events that would happen that's connected to the spirit of, you know, of that person, that the receiver would think, you know, there's just no way that this happens, and it's all connected to something to do with the person. So they get very creative on the other side. Just to come back and let us know in lots of various ways, and just some remarkable stories that we came across. I mean, we interviewed people all over the United States and even in two different countries to get these stories. And you know, they were people that we trusted, deeply trusted, a lot of people that I knew through my circles. And knew that they were very legit in what they were saying, and we didn't. Most of them didn't want their names used, so they weren't looking for attention. But some of them really did want their story told, especially because they felt the same way as we did about the book, that people should know that the death is nothing to fear, and that that our attachment and love, you know, the love can't be broken, and it's always there. And so they wanted to know too, because their loved ones went on the other side, but they're still really a lot closer than we all think they are. And that the things that the near death experience people was wow. You know, I mean, but some of the, like, one of the main things, I guess, was every one of them said that they felt the most intense love on the other side. That they said it was indescribable.
Yeah, there were no words to describe the blissful feeling, the unconditional feeling of the afterlife.
Yeah, it was so
either
strong. Go ahead.
Did either one of you speak to anyone that had the near-death experience that did not have a pleasant?
That was my question.
We did not.
No.
We did not.
No.
Everyone was radically changed their lives in a positive way.
And none of them actually wanted to come back. And the only reason that they did a couple of them were very young, and they were told that they still had things to do on this plane of, you know, back here in our plane of existence. And then the other ones, mainly it was like
ties to their family.
Ties to their family more than anything. Like one lady, she had a son that was
three.
He was really young. I was trying to get the exact age. And she did sort of have a judgment type thing that she went through, but it was more like a relationship.
She called it a relationship review, not so much any type of judgment or life review, but a relationship review in which different people in her life would come up in her mind, and she would have all the feelings of what that relationship had brought to her and what she had brought to the relationship. She had a relationship review, and her spirit guides, or the guides that she called them, guides that met her, and she said it was kind of at a way of an in between our plane of existence and the afterlife. They told her she had free will. She could go back, but they wanted her to see a few things. And so they let her see what this child would feel like without the mother. And she said it was the most painful thing she had ever experienced, and she said, okay.
They actually let her feel what he was feeling.
Yeah, she felt the feeling, and she said, okay, I will go back.
Oh, wow. That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, that one was really interesting. And in that, she described it as a relationship review. A lot of the times people will describe a life review if you read the literature. And she described it as a relationship review.
But she said, and actually everybody else did, that they, at that point, they felt like a detachment from the material world. And the longer that they stayed there, the stronger that detachment came. And I think that must be something like that enables people to continue on. And maybe some people, that detachment doesn't happen like it should, and that's the ones that end up as ghosts, you know, because they can't let go of these different things that's here, and which I don't think is a healthy thing. And I think that's a lot of times why it's good for us also to, and we hope that people get this out of the book, that understanding that of course, we're going to miss those people, but that they are very close to us, number one, and that it's for their own soul growth, that we do not try to keep them bound here because we're doing them more harm than good, you know, and knowing that once they do fully cross over, that they can come and be with us at any given time. I think a lot of times when people's at a cemetery, you know, in the paranormal world and on TV and all these movies and probably a lot of the movies that Jason watches, cemeteries are, you know, really scary places, right? You know, something bad's going to happen to you hang around a cemetery. But in my investigations, I only remember one time ever catching anything in a cemetery. But I know Maria has at Octagon Hall, and it's in the plots out back. But generally, what I feel happens is we're thinking about when we go to visit somebody's grave. Of course, we're thinking about them, and we're thinking about them with deep emotion because, you know, we have that emotional bond and that love that cord that can't be broken. And energy, thought is energy. And so we send that out. And they have the ability to pick up on that. So I think a lot of times when we're at somebody's grave, and the reason it's so emotional, because I really believe that, you know, they come and they're with us there at that point, because that energy sent out. And I think that doesn't really do justice when people talk about so much about graveyards being haunted and stuff. I'm not saying that they're not, because some of them are, and most of those are the people that's the restless spirits that haven't fully crossed over. But the same thing can happen if you're at home. You can be thinking about, and some of the stories are kind of like that, you know, that people would be content, you know, thinking about them, and it would be because the spirit was trying to get their attention for something to guide them to. And sometimes they appear. I think, of course, we're going to dream about the people's natural, but some of these dreams that people have about their loved ones or friends that have crossed over are so vivid and so intense, and you know, they'll have messages for them. What was the lady that with the trunk? And
yeah,
that was one that started with the dream.
Really interesting. One of the ladies shared that she had a dream. Her father was deceased. She had a dream about him, and in the dream, he told her to tell her mother, his wife, that there was a letter in a trunk. So when she woke up, she said it was a real bizarre dream, but she woke up, and she called her mother, and she said, I had this dream about Dad, and he said that he left this note, folded up note in the trunk. And she said, well, she said, I went through that trunk and there was no note. And she said, well, okay, well, I was just going to, you know, relay the message to you. Well, she said a few hours later, her mother called and she was in tears. And she said, I did find the note. And it said that he loved her.
It made him very happy.
Yeah, and they had when they had their firstborn. And I think he ended it with, and I will still love you when my arms are folded in death. And so that was a real interesting one that he was able to use his daughter to get the information to his wife.
So they get very creative.
Sweet. That is so sweet.
Yeah.
You were talking about, and that reminds me, you were talking about like the dream and the daughter. My mother got very sick and was hospitalized a couple of years ago. And she told me, and I don't even know if she remembers this story, but she had told me, of course, my father's been deceased for several years, that she can remember they used to go dancing all the time. And in her dream or whatever state she was in, he came to her, and it was when they were both young. And she told me the suit that he was in, the music that was playing, the club that they were at, and that he reached his hand out to her. And she started to reach her hand out, and then she was like, nope. Not yet.
Mm.
And then she said that she woke up. So she didn't realize she was as close to death or she was as sick as she was until she told me about that vision.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that CCR was playing because she loved that music.
Yeah, that's some good stuff.
It really is. One of the stories in your book, Mike's story, is just absolutely mm-hmm. amazing about his father.
Very amazing.
And I had actually heard that story before. I've never met Mike personally, but of course we're all paranormal investigators and we interact a lot on the social networks, but the story about his father dying and coming back and spending a full day is incredible.
Yeah,
that
it's
would
a very
be hard for someone to believe.
It's a remarkable story and probably too long to get into here with all the details, but yeah, it's a definite standout story. And you know, I've known Mike for quite a number of years. Like you said, you know, it's a small world, especially in the South here, and you know, we all kind of know a lot of people, each other, that's in the field, and he's, you know, he's a straight up guy, former military guy, really good guy, family guy, and his story is just fascinating. And I was real happy that he was gave us permission to share it, because I'd heard it before, and I was like, boy, this just fits right in with what we're doing. And he was even nice enough to tell us twice, because we had some technical difficulties. We were recording a very long phone call that we did with everybody, and then we sort of edited down from there, and actually lost his first account of it. And it's, you know, as you know, it's a pretty involved story. And I was like, oh my gosh, man, I hope he's going to understand about this. And when we called him back the second time, I mean, the story came out the same way. I mean, it didn't really deviate from the first account. And boy, it's just a fascinating story.
It really is a fascinating
there's just,
story.
And it just it continued on even after. I mean, it was like his father got a second chance. And, you know, he's in hospice care at the house there, and he got an extra time with his family. And then even after he finally did pass away, he was still sending signs to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just incredible all the way around.
Well, it's amazing to me. We can't wrap our heads around the time. We have a 24-hour day, 7 days a week. There is no time in a different plane.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
That's hard to wrap your head around. People don't understand that, like, and I'm the perfect example. When you, and I haven't told anybody this story, Brett, so here we go. When you sent me the message, I think it was in September, late August, early September, I had made a post about a cow. And you had asked me if I had cattle. And I told you yes. And then you told me that a couple of weeks after my husband had passed away, he had come to you. And the one part that I remember is that he told you that he liked blue. Well, in my head, I'm trying to think, okay, 2 weeks after his funeral, 2 weeks after his funeral, and I'm thinking, okay, it was a blue casket that his mother had picked out. Not wrapping my head around the time, he already knew that I was going to have to deal with a wounded calf, that I was going to have lotted up, and I was going to have to give shots to and fix wounds, and his name was Blue. Now, how crazy is that?
Yeah, that was that. You know, I don't advertise that too much, but you know, I am able to pick up on stuff like that when I open up to it, and It just that just came out of nowhere. I was actually laying down for the night to go to sleep, and just there he was. He came in my head and, you know, told me who he was and asked me if I would help him and get this to you because it was important to him. And you know, he told me that, and he told you that he was very sorry, and I think that was part of it. Sorry that he was leaving, but leaving also a big burden on you. And of course, you know, he didn't do it by choice, but he wanted you to know that. And then he talked about he liked the blue, and he also had talked about that he had a favorite cow, and that's why I didn't even know that you guys had cows. You know,
<You're> right?
I always ran into you guys at Octagon Hall, you know, and I think you were with us that time. We all went out to eat one time there, but so you know, I thought, boy, you know, this is some pretty obscure stuff. But he felt really, I mean, it was like I was talking to him. And, you know, I always liked him. And, you know, I just like, I debated on it, you know, just like, man, this is, I could come off like completely bonkers here. But I just finally, I was like, okay, you know, I got to go with my gut instinct. I really felt it was him. And it was very important for him, and he knew that I would follow through with it, and so I just kind of told you all that stuff, not knowing where it was going to lead or what it all meant. But you know, in the end, you know, I hope that you benefited from it.
Oh yeah, and to let you know, Blue is fat and sassy, and he is at a friend's farm, and he is being taken care of like a pet. So
awesome.
It's all good on that. But yes, my husband really, really enjoyed you. He was fascinated by you, and especially the EVP sessions that you have. There's not very many people that have an amp setting connected to a ghost box. But, he just knew that you were genuine and that you would do a good job in anything that you ever did. He kept up with you.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure I felt relieved, you know, after that, and I felt good about it, you know, and I felt like I did what he wanted me to do, and that he was happy about all that. So, you know, that it helped him find peace where he's at. And also that you knew, you know, that he was still watching over all this stuff and knew about all that stuff. And cause I certainly had no way of knowing about it, but,
well, no, I mean, you weren't involved in our daily lives, but
right.
And that's
just the beautiful thing about all this. It's like, you know, and I hope you were able to find some comfort and a degree of peace in that, you know, knowing that, you know, he's still aware and he's still around and everything. And that's a lot of the messages that we included, that kind of stuff in the book, and just over and over and over, you know, just in different ways. You know, in his case, you know, he used me as the medium to do it, but you know, people, and that was clever. I mean, that is like, okay, you know, this guy can pick up on me. He's friends with us, and
right.
he's going to tell her, you know, and that's exactly what happened. So, and it was a positive thing, you know, I think for him, me, and you. And so,
right.
And that's the thing that we tried to get across in this book with all these stories, was that, you know, we're never really that far apart from our loved ones. It's really just a dimensional thing, and they're just in a different form than we are. And all these stories, I mean, everybody that had these experiences, even the people that got messages from the other side, they really found a lot of comfort and peace from it. And the people from the near-death experiences, it was just life, pretty much life-altering for
all of them.
I mean, every one of them. And it was really fascinating, too, that some people's lives completely, it was almost like they needed to go through the experience of dying. Like, it was almost like God had to put his hand down and say, you know, I'm going to steer you the other direction, but I'm going to have to take some drastic measures to do it. And and that's what happened. And but it always was for the better. And most of them described the whole experience as something very beautiful. And
colors that can't be described.
That kind of thing too. And a lot of them that had this and either enhanced psychic abilities, or just if they already had psychic abilities, it was enhanced from the experience. If they didn't, they came back with them. That was another very interesting thing, that that something released that ability, gift, or however you want to classify it, but and they would use them for something positive. And a lot of times, you know, that happens the same thing with the abduction thing. I found a lot of similarities between the two. But these people, it was all a positive thing. And a lot of times when they came back, they also healed very quickly. You know, they would all of a sudden feel a whole lot better. And you would think, like, if you actually died, you know, like that wouldn't be the case. But they would sort of describe the beings that they saw on the other side differently, but in ways they were still very similar. Mostly they were sort of like light beings.
Light beings.
But they would describe the colors being very brilliant, and so much so. And there would be sort of some residue left over when they came back.
But it would only last for, you know, a short period of time.
Oh, wow. Well, do you think that is how other people, like the spirit side, do you think they see our light?
In a form of energy, probably. Yeah, and I think that's why they're attracted to certain people, because of the energy. And most of us, you know, we don't really open ourselves up to the synchronicities that happen or sometimes not even, just say we'll see something out of our peripheral vision, you know, like, oh, okay, that was nothing. Even though really our peripheral vision can see the light spectrum that we don't see looking straight on. So it opens up more us to the more of the spirit world. But we want to dismiss everything. And it's good to be objective about things and not just fall for anything that happens and think it's some kind of event. But at the same time, I think too many of us don't open ourselves up to the spirits on the other side actually trying to give us messages. And we're just like, you know, just blow it off because it's considered taboo. We don't want somebody to make fun of us or that type of thing like that. You know, we might see some kind of an object move, or maybe something was very special to the person that passed, and
or a song on the radio.
There was a story in there where there was among many other things, a lady's boyfriend was killed in an auto accident when they were in college, and he was a big Foreigner, the band Foreigner fan, and I forget exactly because it's hard to keep track of all these stories. There were so many of them, but she said every time that she would get in the car, she'd start the car up and his favorite Foreigner song would be playing.
Oh wow!
And you know, so, but she was open to it. Like she realized, like first she thought, well, that's kind of weird, but then it kept happening. And
it would be times when she was going through a low period in her life also.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those songs would come on the radio.
And most people would just blow that off. They wouldn't even put any thought into that.
Right. Yeah.
That would be me. I would just
mistake.
Yeah,
I'm
Jason's
the type of person
the
that would just blow it
skepticism.
Off. But now you got me wondering about what I was talking about in the beginning of the show with all the weird electrical disturbances. Now I'm starting to think, well, maybe that was something on the other side trying to get my attention.
Well, the Earth's magnetic field, the Shulman response has actually been spiking like crazy lately, and that may play into it somewhat.
Yeah, hey, there you go, Jason. There's you and out.
The magnetic... Okay, let's just go with that. I won't ask any more questions about that. it's magnetic field.
Just trying to help you out so you can get some sleep tonight, Jason.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Well, I know
maybe
the story.
We open our minds up to possible synchronicities. You know, we may be able to get messages from the other side if we do open ourselves up to synchronistic events, like
true.
Songs on the radio or.
Well, fear is definitely the enemy. And that's what kind of irks me about a lot of the shows I was talking that's on television that I was talking about earlier, because it's just based on really unfounded fears. And I think it not only hurts the paranormal field in general, and I'm not saying there's not dark stuff out there, but to play on it constantly. And that's why we didn't even avoid it on purpose. We just kept interviewing all these people, and there was like, there was nothing, you know, nobody that passed over, like, started talking about going anywhere dark and, you know, anything to do with hell, for one thing. And it was the same thing. And even with the spirit messages, for sure, it was all very positive stuff. And nobody was trying to do something evil to another individual or anything like that. And even the ghost accounts, that's in the book, I really think is you know, some of them are tragic stuff that happened, but I don't think any of them were like malevolent type things. So, you know, and I talked a couple, I talked to some of the experiences that I had personally as well, and a couple of them, and Maria contributed, you know, involved children, and that always kind of bothers me, because I always sort of have a soft spot when I come across a child that's trapped, and so we didn't really, there was nothing there that was like overly frightening, because it was more of just sort of like someone that is trapped for whatever reason. And to me, it brings out empathy for the people. You know, that's why I anything I do investigation-wise is not for kicks. You know, it's really trying to help, because I've found over the years that's what most of them need.
Well, a lot of them do want to tell a story or get a message across, and then once that message is completed, then they do go on. You don't ever hear anything
yep.
else from them.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and that's why it's important for us to be open. Like Julie said, you know, it's very important to pay attention, overcome the fear, you know, because there's never been anybody, I mean, there's people that's going to say this, but there's never been a legit case of a ghost actually killing somebody. You know, the Bell Witch case, you know, that's debatable. That's the only case that they ever talk about that's a possibility of a ghost actually, you know, poisoning the guy, but and that's still not proven. And so
right.
a lot of this fear is because we don't understand what is actually happening. And hopefully the people after reading this this book that we just did will have a better understanding of that and maybe find some peace and comfort in it themselves. And lose some of that fear.
Well, and then maybe it'll also open their eyes that this is, like Julie was talking about, dreaming of her grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
This is somebody trying to come through to give you a message, mm-hmm. to talk to you, to comfort you. And that's,
right.
that's wonderful.
Yeah,
and
it's
not
a
just
thing.
A dream. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And
how do you know if it's just...
Go ahead.
How do you know if it's just a dream is just a dream, or whether or not somebody's, you know, trying to connect with you? Like, how does one distinguish between those kind of situations? Or is there a way?
Some of the dreams that I consider visitation dreams are so vivid and so real that I still remember them now, even after, you know, several years. They feel different to me. They feel like a visitation.
Well, a lot of dreams are sort of like jigsaw puzzles. You know, like you're like, what, you know, what's a 10-foot snake doing come riding a bicycle across the, you know, the into the river, you know? It's like, and you're like, what the, you know? And so there's sort of a difference, like a sequence of events that happens, what the spirit is communicating to you. And like Julie was talking about, the vividness of it. It seems real life, only in another dimension kind of thing.
Hmm. I've definitely had dreams like that, particularly UFO ones, but I'm not going to talk about it because I want to be able to sleep tonight. So we'll talk about something else.
Hey, yeah, Jason, I have your phone number now, so I'm going to start sending you text messages about it.
Oh, great. Please don't. I find, you know, I think, like I was saying, with all the movies being so negative, the horror movies and stuff like that, spreading a positive message is definitely needed, because everything's so inundated with negativity, not just in the paranormal, but in the world in general. And
exactly.
Fear is probably, yeah, and fears are probably our greatest enemy. I mean, you have everybody, half the population out there, I don't know if it's half, but are on antidepressants or anti-anxiety, and we just need more positivity out there. People need to start hugging trees. Go hug a neighbor, you know, start doing nice things for people. We need to get that message out there.
Yeah, because like attracts like, you know, and if we put out that kind of negativity and we buy into that kind of negativity, you know, we just create more of it. And on the flip side, positivity works the same exact way. That's a really good point, though.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard to sometimes, you know. We get so caught up in work and everything we have to do in society, and it's difficult not to get depressed or angry. But I know for me personally, I try and stay positive, but it's, you know, it's, well, Maria knows it's hard for me sometimes.
Yeah. It really is. You got to reel in back in. It's like, come on.
Yeah, I know. That's right. But we all got to
come back
from
the dark side.
I know.
Well, you know, grief is one of the hardest things, and you know that just everything that it entails, and that's why that we felt it was important to portray that kind of message in this book, that it's not the end. And, you know, we actually, you know, end the book with that sentence, the end is not the end. And that was the thing that we really wanted to portray. So, it is that fear. It's part of like erasing, you know, that kind of fear, and know that there's hope out there, and that even though we do grieve for those that's passed on, we never forget about them. We remember them in lots of different ways. Time, as we know it, like Maria was a good point. On the other side, you know, the past, present, and future all exists at the same time. It's hard for us to wrap our heads around that. But, man, I'll tell you, I've got a lot of research that proves that. And so what we consider time is not that much in the big scope, the big picture of things on the other side. And so, you know, it's just a matter of time, you know, with those souls that we have that kind of bond with, you know, it's going to, you're going to see those people again. You're going to, and it's just a matter of time.
And all of the stories and messages that were recounted definitely showed that consciousness continues after death and personality continues after death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know the stories in the book are great. And it does, it shows that love.
Mm-hmm,
it does. Yeah. Yeah, over and over. Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at the clock here, and we are running out of time. But before we close out, now, where can the listeners find the books? Where can they get them from?
It's on Amazon, both hard copy and Kindle copies. Once again, it's called Afterlife Encounters, Ghost Spirits, and Near-Death Experiences.
Very cool. Well, I want to thank you both, Brett and Julie, for coming on tonight and sharing a positive message. That's what we need. We need more of that on Paranormal Horizons. We always get sucked into the negative side, so it's refreshing to kind of stay out of that and focus on positive stuff. So I want to thank you both for taking the time and enlightening us this evening with all that knowledge.
Well, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Alrighty, Maria, what do we got next week?
You know, I don't know. I think we're winging it next week. I'll have to ask Sherry. She's the one that said, I think she was the one that was going to get somebody. We may be talking about you. We'll find out.
Ooh, well, that'd be fun. I'm sure everybody out there in the internet land would love to learn about my weird ass life.
Yeah, then they can start torturing you on our Facebook page.
I know. Start getting some weird messages or videos and get me all freaked out.
That's true. But if anybody gets the time, and like the Brett and Julie said, their book is available on Kindle version, and it is called Afterlife Encounters, Ghost Spirits, and Near-Death Experiences, and it is a wonderful book. And it's light and love. It's just the sweetest little messages that come through, and I really recommend people to pick this up.
I kind of believe in near-death experiences. I've heard a lot of both sides. I've heard a lot of stories where people experience it, and then I've heard a bunch of scientists saying it's not real, but I choose to believe it, whether it's real or not. You know.
You, the Mr. Skeptic,
I know, I'm really skeptical, but I mean, I could choose to believe it, which is a positive thing, meaning there's something after our physical life, or if I choose to be Mr. Skeptical and say it doesn't exist, well, that's kind of a scary thought, because if there's nothing, nothingness is scarier than something, even if it's a negative something. So I'm going to choose to subscribe to the fact that there is life after death. And, you know, I've seen a lot of weird stuff out there. I've done paranormal investigations back when I was a lot braver, and I've seen stuff I can't explain. You know, yes, I'm skeptical, but, you know, I know that there's more to this life and this world and this existence than just, you know, what we can detect with our five senses.
Well, this is true. And the more open you are to it, the more that you're going to experience the good, as long as your intentions are good. That is something a lot of people don't understand. But, Jason, it will work out for you. I won't torment you and give you any nightmares for tonight. So pick up their book and and read it. It's really sweet.
We need more positivity. Well, with that, we hope everybody has a safe and fantastic week. We'll see everybody next Sunday, 8 p.m. And if you haven't already, give us a like on Facebook. Our Facebook's exploding as usual. I mean, we don't have, what do we have, 2,200 likes, but our posts for the week reached nearly 100,000 people. And yeah, there are a bunch of memes and funny stuff, but the posts are getting out there.
Yes, they are. We're trying to spread the laughter. Post anything paranormal. So
I know,
if you
it's
want
terrible.
It is terrible. But if you want a good laugh, some of it's a little racy. So, but check it out. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, Paranormal Horizons on Facebook. Oh, one more thing I wanted to add. You know, I've been keeping my finger on the influenza pulse because I work in a hospital and I'm the guy that tests for flu. I mean, that's not my sole job, but I'm the one that does it. And I want to say that because I believe I reported a week or so ago that the flu was out of control, and it was influenza A. I think I'm starting to sense a decline. I'm starting to see more negatives. So I'm hoping in the next few weeks that it'll kind of level out with less positive flus out there. And at least that's what's happening in Oregon. I don't know what's happening in the rest of the country, but I'm very hopeful because, as we know, influenza is terrible. So hopefully we're on the decline. And with that, hope everybody has a safe week. We'll see everybody next week. Good night, everyone.
Good night.